I want to talk to you about courageous grace this morning. We're in a series about grace without borders, and so I'm going to talk to you about empowered to cross borders, because you got to have the right authority, as we sang just a little while ago. You got to have the right resourcing, and you got to have the courage. You have to have the courage to cross borders. And so when we kind of think of this, we think, especially now, it's more challenging to cross borders than ever before because of 9/11. It just changed things. I went to Russia the first time before 9/11, and we're just joking. We had a whole pickup load of stuff, and the guy says, "Well, what do you got in there?" And I says, "Well, we got some drugs and stuff like that." And like, what a stupid thing to say, right? And I didn't ever declare that I'm the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I am in the drawer, okay? And so they said, "You stay here," and they looked at our truck. Well, duh. And we did have drugs, but we had prescription drugs. They didn't just add that part on there. And there was a lightness in it. They didn't go, you know, really ballistic on me. But you don't do that now. You don't do that now. We need to walk without fear. We need to cross borders without fear. When you think about these, the metaphor I used is Doctors Without Borders, and we have all sorts of different groups without borders. Women Without Borders, I think it is. Jeannie's group just touched so many lives through their Bible study, and just yesterday had a garage sale, I think it was. Is that right? Did you have a garage sale? To send money across borders to touch people's lives. We need to pull borders down in a sense, but we need to have the courage to go across them. And so we have inside of us, when we know Jesus Christ, we have power that overcomes fear. 1 Timothy 1:6-7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into the flame of the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." So Paul had laid hands on Timothy. "For the spirit God gave us does not make us fearful or timid, but gives us the power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." When I was in that crowd, I kind of felt, you know what? I'm different because I'm now a preacher and I don't go and drink like I used to, and I drank with lots of those people. I'm different in that sense, but I'm still who I am, and I still have relationships with those people, and I just love them. And we need to not be afraid of who we are in Christ. People say, "Where are you? I haven't seen you for a lot of years, Cruz, so what are you doing?" I say, "I'm a preacher." "Whoa, really?" "Yeah, and I'm honored and blessed to be a pastor, a preacher of the gospel." And they said, where are you pastoring? And I said, "In Richmond." And I told them all about us. And I was really excited. And they go, "That must be exciting." And I says, "It is exciting." Because it is. The power of God. We need to be bold. We need to know that God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-discipline, or of a clear, solid mind. We got to start walking in that in these end times especially. So why do we cross borders? Well, not for cheap gas anymore. Again, here's another design flaw in my thinking. When I did my work in the seminary, I started it when the dollar is at the same level it is now. So I got like 70 cents on the dollar. So I actually got 30% more education than anybody else. That's the way I look at it. It actually cost me 30% more. And then as soon as I was done, the dollar went way up. Celebrate. Not really, because I'm still paying that off. We cross the border because of adventure. We cross the borders because of wealth. We cross borders because for safety. We cross borders for freedom. We cross borders for health. We cross borders to help others. We cross borders to go on missions trip. We just kind of cross borders for all these different reasons. So here's Paul's story. Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians 19, says in verse 19 and on, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." So, do you see the borders he's crossed? He didn't have to do that. "To the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those who are under the law. To those who have nothing, the law, I became, or to those who have not having the law, I became like one not having the law." Have you ever thought about that? He kind of hung around with lawless people. "Though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak, to win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." I feel that's what I need to do in my life. I became Jim Caruso from Princeton again. And come the right Reverend Dr. James Caruso. Hallelujah. I came as Jim Caruso, the guy that was a welder, the guy that had a beer fridge in his shop. I was the guy that was real then and not maybe so good, as I have changed some of the things, many of the things. But I'm the same guy, except Christ is in me. And what Paul's story says is, to whomever I will become, whomever. Never, never stepping aside from the law of Christ in you, but never exalting yourself above anyone, anywhere, at any time. You need to be who you are with Jesus oozing out of you. Without saying a word, you can say more by being who you are in Christ. I felt honored to be there. I felt honored to be able to go back and just hug some people that I hadn't hugged for a long time and heard their stories, and it was just amazing. Some of my friends have gone through cancer, and some of my friends have lost their spouses, and some of them have lost kids, and some of them have lost their jobs, and some of them are, you know, it's just a different world. We haven't seen each other for a long time, and it just tells me that, you know what, I'm still in their life. And actually, I could have stayed there like late into the night, but they're going to have a big celebration that wasn't probably what I'm used to anymore. But I love them. I really love them. And now I can love them with Christ. So let's look at Will's story. Will Judge was born in Baltimore, Maryland in 1850. So what's he got to do with anything? Well, Will was an early missionary in Alaska in the gold camp at 40 Mile in Yukon when it was at its peak. Now, Elaine and I lived in Dawson City, so I've been to 40 Mile. There's not much there except a couple of cabins, and it's like they left the doors open and left the plates on the table, and everything's like a live museum. It's amazing. He came into the Yukon and established a mission there in 1894. When gold was discovered in the Klondike, which is about, maybe an hour up the river, He left for Dawson City, arriving in March 1897. He had come in his heart to minister to all the miners. 30 to 40,000 people came along the Klondike Gold Rush from California up into Barkerville and a few other places, and then eventually it kind of streamed up to Skagway and then over the Chilicoot Pass. And so he saw the need to minister to them. And so he did. He went to Dawson City and he established a hospital. And that little hospital is still there, Father Judge Hospital. He built a church. And the people that were supposed to come and help him, they didn't show up for a whole year because you just didn't fly in those days. And so the nuns that were going to come and help him came a year later, and he was exhausted. His tireless dedication to others exhausted his thin, frail body, and he passed away from pneumonia in January 1899, 2 years later, at the age of 49 years old. His funeral was the largest in Dawson, and he was buried, and I found this interesting, on the gospel side of the altar. And I had to look that up and find out, what is the gospel side of the altar? Well, on the left-hand side was the gospel side when you're facing the altar. And they would preach the gospel from that side. And the right-hand side was the epistle side of the altar where they would do the teaching. And so being buried on the gospel side of the altar told me that his heart was in the message of the gospel, and all those miners, some and most who never came to Christ, saw in him the gospel of Jesus Christ. The community said, this is where this man lived. This is where this man will be remembered. Do you understand that? You want to be buried on the gospel side of the altar. Let me tell you that. You want to be buried there. Wherever that is, that could be in a rodeo ground, that could be in a fancy golf course, that could be right here in this altar, it could be in a funeral home, it could be anywhere you want, but I'll tell you, you want to be buried on the gospel side of that. Because that reflects who you are. Someone who loves the gospel. So my sermon got way ahead of me here because I was walking around and throwing my iPad back and forth. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and we're all familiar with this. It says, you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses. And he names off Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. You will receive power. You will receive the power to cross over the borders. You'll receive the authority to cross over those borders. You'll receive the power to build relationships. After the funeral, Lane and I went and saw one of my friends that I'd grown up with and knocked on his door, and he came out and he says, wow, I'm so glad to see you. I was glad to see him too. I wanted to connect with him. I didn't preach to him at all. Just went in and listened to where they're at and how they're doing and just hugged them, loved them. My friends. My job to get people saved. It's not my job. Not your job. So that gave me maybe a little rest, because sometimes you get this pressure like, okay, how many people did you lead to Jesus? What if it's none? That's a great conversation stopper, isn't it? Well, let's move along. What's the weather like? It's not your job. It's your job to present Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's all your job is, just to be who you are in him. And when you do that, you cross over borders into people's lives. Luke 10:10, he says, Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and he gave them authority. We sang that in that last song. Gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. Out of 12 that hung around with him, he called them out and said, hey, you guys now have the badge. And with the badge comes the authority. So go and do it. And they went out, and if you read the rest of that chapter, they went out and they're pumped because they saw demons come out and they saw people healed, and they just saw the most amazing things happen in the presence of God. And they came back and they were just like, well, testimony time, right? And Jesus said, that's awesome, you guys. I'll tell you something. I saw Satan fall from heaven. And I don't think he just went, well, you guys did okay, but you know what? I'm going to one-up you here. No, he said, I saw the demise of the enemy's power. And then he knew he was going to the cross so that it would solidify that, so that we would have that kind of power inside of us. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will have power. You'll have power. Every one of you will have power. And you'll be able to cast out impure spirits. And every sickness and disease you'll be able to lay hands on, and you will see him do miracles. Not you. Not you. You'll be given the gifts, and we're going to talk about the gifts coming in January. So here, I want to go back to the Chilkoot Pass. Have you ever seen that picture? How many of you have seen this picture? Okay, we live not too far from there. In the Yukon, it wasn't very far. 6-7 hour drive one way. And down to Skagway. Who's been to Skagway here? You guys got to go to Skagway. There's less people here in Skagway than there are here this morning. But it's a beautiful little historic town. But they would go to Skagway, and then they would have to, that was Alaska, they would have to cross into BC and then cross into the Yukon. And before they could get into BC, they had, right at the top of that mountain, it's called the Golden Staircase, there was authorities there that checked, and every person who was going into the Klondike had to bring 2,000 pounds. 1,000 food and 1,000 of toiletries. I don't know. that's a lot of toilet paper, isn't it? They had to bring in tools and things like that. And they had to do this, and so they would get up on top. And to be allowed to enter the Klondike and take part in the gold rush, Canadian officials required that stampeders take 1 ton of goods with them to try to ensure they were prepared to survive. There was nothing up there, people. There was nothing up there. And so before they could go into the border, they had to have the resources before they could cross over. We have the resources. We have them inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit with the power to do all these things that we have need of. We can go into this wilderness. We can go into this darkness. We can go into these areas, and we can go because of the grace of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift that we have, so that we can see people come to know him and see people set free. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, you guys preach here in a Pentecostal church. It's a separate experience. No, the baptism of the Holy Spirit's different. It's another experience. It's another gift of the Holy Spirit. But the presence of the Holy Spirit you receive. You receive that. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit inside of you when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You don't get more of him when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. He gets more of you. Then there's a guy named Phil. Let's talk about his story. You probably know him as Philip. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went, and Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. If you know anybody about the history, Samaria was a border you had to cross into, and it wasn't a very friendly place for Jews or Christians. Maybe because the Jews said that Samaritans were only created to fuel the fires of hell. Hey, that'd be a good thing. Wouldn't you like to be met by somebody who said that that was all what you're purposed for? So Philip was preaching. It says, when the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. We have the power, and the signs will follow. Don't go chasing the signs. Please, we get caught up in this and we want the signs and then we think the power is going to come. You move in the power of the Holy Spirit and the signs will come. They will follow. And they'll draw people. And this is what you'll get. You'll get this wonderful little banquet with nice people talking silently and quietly amongst each other and then offering lots of money and offering plate. No, you won't. You'll get people who are shrieking with impure spirits. And they'll be coming out of many people. And many people who were paralyzed will be set free and be able to move freely. The lame will be healed. And there'll be great joy in that city. That's what Philip experienced. Because he went across the border. You got to be willing to go across the border. You got to be willing to know that inside of you, you have nothing. When Jesus sent off his disciples, he said, don't take anything. Just take the bare minimal. And I'll show you. I'll show you what I'll do. Because then every time he does something, you got a testimony. Every time you have a testimony, you get pumped. Every time you get pumped, you trust him more. So then every time you get to a place to trust him, he'll give you something to trust in. And then you'll get pumped because you'll see him. And it just is it's a wonderful, not a vicious, but a wonderful cycle. And we need to start living that way. We need to start breathing that way. We need to sleep. We need to sleep, eat, and drink the Holy Spirit in our lives. Wow, I'm at the end of my sermon already. So Jesus said this to his disciples. Very simply. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. So there's a couple words in there I've highlighted. Go and make and teach. We have such a world that we live in today that we need to go, we need to teach, and we need to make disciples. So we have coming up here in our church, starting in September 12th, we're starting this Bible college, and some of you have gotten smidgens of this, and Pastor Dan did an announcement on this. It's called All Nations because we are all nations, all right? It's not just for one ethnic part of God's family, but it's for his whole family. And so what it is a very, honestly, a very good discipleship program for the first level. Very good. They use material that is proven and tested, and so you can learn how to become more of a disciple of Jesus Christ. So that you're not out there. I remember being about 4 years old in the Lord and not having a clue what the foundation stuff was. Didn't have a clue how to find my way around in Christianity. I just kind of went with the crowd on Sunday morning. And I tell you, I needed to have some foundational stuff. So I actually took a very similar course to this. And it put a foundation in. You need to have a foundation. And then what it also does is it teaches you how to learn, how to maybe go to school, because even when I started my postgraduate stuff, I started it so late in life I couldn't even remember, and I probably didn't know to begin with, how to write an essay. I honestly didn't. And the reality is that we sometimes don't do things because we're afraid. God has not given to us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound, disciplined mind. So you can do it, let me tell you. You can do it. So this level one is a good introduction and a good encouragement for you. And then level two will go into the more of the academic, where you'll do hermeneutics and you'll do homiletics and you'll do stuff that's just a step above, so that you know how to look up and stuff in the Bible and understand it in context. And then level three will bring you into a place where you can get to if you wanted to become a licensed minister, not a licensed minister, but a recognition of ministry in credentials, there's 10 courses that you'll go through that are level with the Bible college. And then if you're really excited, you can go for your bachelor's, and if you want to go from there, you can go to your master's, you can go to your doctorate. But long before that, you'll go somewhere where he calls you to use this. And when he does, you'll be equipped to cross that border into people's hearts. I just want to encourage you, that's my heart here is to motivate and mobilize this whole congregation, because each one of you are equal with any of the paid staff, with any of the people who have been here forever, years and years and years in this church. You are equal spiritually, because inside of you, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please understand, he wants to use you to cross borders. Have the team come up. Maybe you're here for the first time and you go, what's this guy even talking about? Or maybe you're here, maybe you're here for the 30th time and you're saying that, what's this guy talking about? Let me tell you something. My heart burns to equip each one of us so that we can walk into familiar territory or unfamiliar territory. I want you to feel confident, not because of me, not because of RPC, not because of the PAOC. Like, there's a lot of letters there, right? And some of you wonder, like, why don't we just talk with the words? But the reality is that we need to be equipped so we can touch this world before Jesus comes back. Honestly, I believe he's coming back. We see this whole global warming stuff, and we see earthquakes and mountains blowing their tops and just horrific disasters. And, of course, we can go to Scripture and see that this is going to happen. But I'll tell you, don't focus on that as much as focusing on who you are in Christ and what he's called you to do. Just go and do it. Just go and do it. I just want to encourage you, go and do it. We're going to do some breathing life into our missions department in just a few short weeks, September the 19th and 20th. That might be the go and do it piece for you. But maybe it's this afternoon. Maybe it's at your job site. Maybe it's in your school when you go back. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. You just need to be who you are in Jesus, confident of who you are in Jesus, knowing that you can cross any border because you have the authority and the power inside of you. I'll tell you, the world's going to open up. And you're going to have this heart that just is the same heart as God, the Father. I love that statement. Maybe it's a song that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Hell's a, We don't hear much about hell. Except if we have a bad day, we say, oh, what, you know, this is like hell. No, it's not. Hell is eternal separation from God. The only way, let me go on record here and I'll stand to the day I die. The only way to get away from going to hell, the only way that you don't go to hell is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There is no other way. The Word of God says that the only way to the Father is through me, through Jesus Christ, not me, Jim Caruso. There's only one door, and it's Jesus. There's nothing else in this world that's ever been created by any man, doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter how eloquent they are, doesn't matter how charismatic they are, doesn't matter all the history, doesn't matter how many people follow them. If they don't follow Jesus Christ and they don't open the door through Jesus Christ, you don't go to heaven. Wow, that's a heavy statement, isn't it? But that's the only one, people. That's why we exist. The why. That's why we exist. And for you who know Jesus Christ, you know that He's changed your life. He's changed your life forever. My life is different. When I sat in that crowd of 1,000 people that I grew up with, a lot of them, I was different because of Jesus Christ. And they saw that. Now, there wasn't a big altar call and they all came to Christ. There wasn't nothing like that. But I have the heart of the Father and He showed me. I love these people. I put you there so you could grow up there to build those relationships. Let me encourage you to go. So maybe God's stirring something in your heart right now. Maybe the first place you need to go is to Him. You've never done that. You've never gone to Him and asked for salvation. So, I get you all to stand here for a couple minutes. And again, I'm just going to ask you to say this prayer after me. If you have never said this prayer before, then this is the most important thing you'll ever say in your whole entire life that you believe with your heart. It'll also change your life for all eternity and take you from darkness into light. And then you just, after you say that prayer, you need to tell someone. You tell us. We have some Bibles and things up here, and we just want to know, want to help you on your journey. Maybe you've kind of stepped back and gone, man, I'm so dry and I'm so far from God that I just don't know what to do. Well, He wants you to come home. Come on home. He's got His arms wide open for you. He wants you to come home. So, Father, I just want you to repeat this after me. Father, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. And I receive the healing and salvation from Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. I ask you to become my Lord, my Savior, my best friend. Empower me by your Holy Spirit that I'd have the courage to cross borders, that nothing would stop me from going where you call me to go. But I would be excited to hear what you want me to do. So I receive this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.